I'm excited to be preaching the word tonight and continuing our new theme of We the People. So super excited about that. I love that this semester we're focusing on being the people who God has called us to be, being the people of the kingdom, people that aren't caught up in worldly things, but people that are caught up in Christ, in Jesus, and that we're ambassadors of his kingdom, people of his kingdom. I'm honored to be preaching the word and excited to dive in here. So get your Bibles out, get whatever you need to take notes tonight, to soak up the word of God. The sermon slides will be on the screen share. So if you guys ever need a scripture reference, all the scriptures will be up on the screen. But let's jump in here and get it going. So there is one moment, one event in history, one story that all of history really revolves around, that the history books point to, that even our calendars point to. And it's a story that people from every tribe and nation cling to. You know, there is a story that is woven into the very fabric of who we are and who God is. And that story is Jesus dying on the cross for you and for me. The moment when a perfect God became sin for us. And tonight, I want to bring us all back to the foot of the cross and talk about being a people of the cross. So the title of my sermon tonight comes from a song in the musical Hamilton, as we're, you know, kind of sticking with the Hamilton theme as well. So the title of my sermon tonight is Who Lives, Who Dies, Who Tells His Story. And for those of you who know the song, you probably just sang it in your head or referenced it. Who lives, who dies, who tells your story? Really good song. Tonight we're going to be talking about those 3 points. Those are going to be the 3 points in the lesson. But we're going to be focusing on his story tonight and the message of the cross. So you might be here tonight and maybe you first studied out Jesus dying on the cross for you years ago, you know, in a Bible study, or maybe you just recently learned about the cross just a year ago or months ago. Or maybe you're here tonight and you've never really taken out the time to learn about why Jesus was crucified and what that has to do with you. But wherever you're coming from tonight, I want to encourage you to hear this message tonight with fresh ears and an open heart. To look at the scriptures tonight that we're reading, like you're reading them for the first time. And to allow the Holy Spirit to really inspire you and kind of a fresh look at the cross. And again, the title of my message is Who Lives, Who Dies, Who Tells His Story. And we're going to break down each of those and see what those points have to do with us. But my first point is who lives. Point number one, who lives. You know, Jesus dying on the cross wouldn't have meant anything if he didn't live a sinless life for you, if he wasn't that perfect and spotless Lamb of God. You know, when John the Baptist, when he first sees Jesus in the beginning of the gospel, he says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." You see, Jesus not only died for you and for me, but he lived a sinless life for you and for me, a life that you and I could never live. You know, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, the Bible says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." So Jesus was fully human, but also fully God. He was tempted with all the same sins that we're tempted with: lying, stealing, being lustful, being selfish, prideful, lazy, greedy, all of those he was tempted with. But here's what's amazing is that he never sinned. He lived his whole life for you. So all the times in your life where you've said yes to sin, Jesus said no. But the question is, well, why? Why? Why did he have to live that life? Why every time did he have to say no? Well, it's because Jesus knew he was destined to die for you and for me. You know, it's like the worship song Above All says. It says he lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. But that was Jesus's life. He lived to die. So he could die the death that would atone for your sin and be that pure, spotless lamb. Jesus lived every day of his life, check this out, thinking about you and me, thinking about us. He embodied a selfless life because every decision he made was about being that pure, sacrificial lamb so that his death would matter, his death would count, and his blood could one day cleanse us in the waters of baptism. Wow, it's amazing. But what's interesting is that even though his life was all about not sinning, his death was about taking on sin, taking on all of sin, the punishment of your sin and my sin. So Jesus knew, like I said, that he was going to the cross. He knew this. And so this leads me to my second point, point number two, which is who died? Who died? So Jesus, he died because of our sin, but also because he's crazy in love with us. I mean, our mind and our hearts can't even fathom how much he dearly loves us. He loves you more than you could ever know. But did you know that you are the reason why Jesus had to die? That it wasn't just those Roman soldiers thousands of years ago, but that you and me were responsible. You know, in Acts 2, verse 36, Peter says, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." So I'm here to remind us tonight that your sin killed Jesus, the Savior. My sin killed Jesus. We are all responsible, but we are also all worth the blood of a God. The blood of God himself, the blood of Jesus. That's how God sees you and your value. And Paul makes it clear in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. And Jesus took on the full brunt, the full weight of sin on the cross. That's what his life was leading to. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Notice the word "might" there. That Jesus knew that he could go through the most agonizing death for you, being marred beyond human recognition, like being put through a blender, taking on emotional, physical, and spiritual pain. And he knew that even after all of that, that you could decide to not love him back. That you could decide to turn your back on him, to not follow him. So Jesus died for you on a maybe. On a maybe you'd follow him. On a might, that you maybe would decide to live a righteous life in response to him. Guys, that's amazing. That's a foreign idea of love to the world that we live in. And I don't know about you, but when I sacrifice for people in any way, whether that's giving money or my time or fighting to forgive someone, I want to know usually that I'm getting something in return when I sacrifice. But Jesus died strictly to show you his love for you. It wasn't even so much about banking on a return. He knew that people would decide to not follow him, but he wanted to show you, hey, I love you just because of who you are, and I want to spend eternity with you. That's amazing. That's the love of God. And so again, this point is entitled, "Who Died?" But here's the deal. It's not only Jesus that should be, that put sin to death, or that should be putting sin to death, but it's us as well. You know, in Galatians 2:20, Paul says, love this verse. He says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So if you're a disciple of Jesus on this call, you have put to death, you've been crucified with Christ. You no longer live, but your life is no, it's no longer about living for you, but it's about living for Christ and really him living through you. That we would actively every day put to death the same sins that put Jesus on the cross. And so for me, it's what I got to remind myself of is Mark no longer reigns, but Jesus reigns. Jesus lives through me. And what an honor that is, that Jesus gets to manifest himself through his Spirit in us. And so the world can see him in us. That's amazing that we have the honor to represent Christ. But I want to ask you, are you living the crucified life? Are you still putting to death your sin? Or do you notice yourself taking sin too lightly, not confessing, not being vulnerable like you know you should be, not being radical maybe like you used to be? You know, I just want to share just personally. I know for me, growing up in the church and studying the Bible, middle school, going into high school, I know for me that as soon as I got in the Word and looked at the cross, and Ross Lippincott and Seth, they sat me down, I just remember leaving that study like, how do you receive that message and knowledge of what Jesus did for you and then go and do nothing about it like it never happened? Like, how do you turn your back or leave a study like that and just keep living in the same sin that you just found out murdered God? And so I remember it just boggled my mind. I was like, wait, guys, you mean to tell me people learn this and still keep living in sin? You know, for me in 2010 as a freshman, I was just like, this is amazing. And I had sin that I had to work through, and I had sin that I had to put to death. And I have to continue to put that sin to death almost 10 years later. But I know for me, it was like, man, the last thing I want to do is not die to my sin after learning about what he's done for me. And I also want to say this, guys, is it's no news that we're living in a time of great division, of social injustice, of racism, of hatred, prejudice. And more than ever, the enemy is trying to create even more divisions and destroy any unity or equality that might exist. You know, the enemy wants to create division. He wants to create more enemies and rampant inequality. But here's the reality, is that we're all equal. Every human being, we're all equal at the foot of the cross. We are all responsible for the death of Jesus. We have all been unjust towards a perfect God. We're all to blame for the problems in our world because we all have sin. I have sin. You have sin. And it doesn't matter what you look like at the foot of the cross or what your background is at the foot of the cross. No, what matters is what's on the inside, and we got this disease called sin, and everyone is equal at the foot of the cross. And Jesus, he died because he loves us all equally. No matter what you look like or what background you come from, Jesus made a statement thousands of years ago, and he said, I look at all the same. They're worthy of my blood. They're worthy of my blood. You know, the message of the cross is the message that the world needs, because the message of the cross is the great equalizer. I'm so grateful for that. You know, the world changes, hearts change, unity comes about when we bring people to the foot of the cross, guys. When we help people look at a perfect king and just look up at him as he's dying for us, and to help people see how loved they are. You know, we can't legislate righteousness, but you can imitate the love of Christ and preach the gospel and be a messenger of the cross. And this leads me to my final point, You know, we just talk about who lives, who dies, and now we're going to talk about who tells his story, who tells his story. So turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to look there in a second. But I hope this is helping you guys. I hope that you're reflecting on your own life as you're thinking about this. I know that just writing this lesson has just been good for me, just to think about how's it going for me, really connecting with the cross. But I want to look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's look in verse 17. So Paul says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And skip to verse 22 here. He says, "Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." I love that. Now, here's the amazing thing about the message of the cross is that you don't have to be an eloquent speaker to move people. It's not necessarily how you communicate the cross. It's simply bringing people to the foot of the cross by getting them in the Bible, getting them in the scriptures to see what Jesus has done because of them, but also for them and because he loves them. And so Paul, man, he really makes it clear here that he doesn't want the cross to be emptied of its power by Paul or who he is or how he communicates. He simply believes in the power of the message itself, of Jesus dying for sinners, Christ crucified. Paul believed that the realization of Christ crucified for sinners is all that we need. And as the world turns to other solutions and politics and philosophy and humanly wisdom, other social movements, we got to continue to turn to Jesus, guys. We can't let Satan tell us that we can put our hope in the world. And we need to be great citizens. We need to do what we can here. But we got to remember that Jesus, his way, you know, in the Bible, they call Christianity, they call the church the way. You know, I love that in the book of Acts. It says, man, he's part of the way. We need to look towards the way, the truth, and the life. That is Jesus. And so we don't preach what the world preaches, but we preach Christ crucified. We are the people of the cross, the people moved by the love of Jesus, the people of his kingdom, who changes the world. We change the world by loving others with the same love that Jesus demonstrated for us on the cross. And so Jesus is the one who lived, who died, and now we tell the world his story. Our lives are about, it's awesome. Our lives are about telling people the story of the gospel, of Jesus. And Paul said that he no longer lives. Now, it's kind of a crazy thing to say, you know, like Ethan no longer lives, you know, Julia no longer lives. I mean, people might think, hey, no, take pride in yourself, like make things about you. But Jesus is saying that, no, our lives are now about him, right? That it's about being an ambassador of Christ. So, but I want to ask you tonight, what about you? Are you studying the Bible with people and genuinely excited in your life to help people know the cross? Is this your focus in your life? And are you taking time each week to connect to his love, personal time, and figure out how to pass that on? You know, do people see Jesus in you? Does your family, does your friends? I mean, we just got to ask ourselves that question. You know, our culture, if we're keeping it real, our culture is constantly telling us to make a name for ourselves. But the Bible says not to lift up your name, but to lift up the name of Jesus, to point the world to him through your words and your actions. But how's that going for you? Making his name known, not your Instagram, not your name, but his name. You know, the lyric of the song is who lives, who dies, who tells your story. That's the original lyric, who tells your story. And I just want to ask you, what are people going to say about your life when you pass away? What will they say about your life? Will they say like, oh yeah, they followed their dream. That was a great guy, great girl. They got their dream job. They had a beautiful family, great friends, and just kind of worldly accolades. Are they going to say that about you? Or will they say, wow, that brother or that sister will always be remembered for being in love with Jesus, for being a messenger of the cross, for preaching Christ crucified? What will your story be? You know, his story is our story. The story of our lives should be woven into what Jesus did for us on the cross thousands of years ago. Our story is his story. We do what we do as disciples because of his death. Our lives are our response to the cross. His death is our death to sin, and his resurrection is our resurrection. We are new creations living a new life for him. But I also want to ask you, is the cross at the center of your life? Because if the cross isn't at the center of your life, I just got to be honest, you're not going to make it to heaven. I'm not going to make it to heaven if the cross is not at the center of my life. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:14, Paul says, for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. And so I want to ask you tonight, are you compelled? Are you still compelled by the love of Jesus? Are you still moved deeply, emotionally, when you take time to meditate on the cross? You know, I know for many of us on this call, as we come in for a landing here, the cross has changed our lives, has it not? It's why we're here today. And it's really the only reason why we all know each other, is because Jesus went to the cross. You know, I just think we got to be grateful that we can be a people of the cross. And I just want to tell you guys, I'm grateful for this campus ministry, for this people of God, that our foundation and our glue, our connection is his blood, is the cross, and that it's all about him. And so I just want to encourage you guys with that, man, let's be grateful that that's our identity more than anything. It's we are a people of the cross. We're people who live for Jesus. We die to our sin because Jesus died to sin, and we live to tell his story till the day we die. That's a meaningful, purposeful, eternal life. And so what we're going to do here for the rest of our time tonight is we're going to split up. Rob's going to split us up into some breakout rooms. And I got two discussion questions here. If someone wouldn't mind typing them in for me, that'd be great. But here's the questions that I just want us to reflect on after looking at these scriptures and really meditating on the cross tonight. The first question is, what can you do to connect more to the cross this week? What can you do to connect more to the cross this week? And the second question is, who in your life is God calling you to preach Christ crucified to? Who in your life is God calling you to preach Christ crucified to? Who's God put in your path? You know, maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a classmate you're doing a group project with. Maybe it's a longtime friend that you feel like, man, I just got to get the courage to just preach to them. Not like I'm doing now, maybe like get on the phone or get on a Zoom call and come at them with a lapel mic. Maybe not that, but just sharing with them Jesus, doing a Bible study and talking about the cross. And so I want us to talk about these questions, not just now, but tomorrow to think about. You know, these midweeks are all about changing our lives, making decisions about our lives. And so again, I'm grateful to preach to you guys tonight. I hope that this was helpful for you. And whenever you're ready, you can go for it, bro.
Thanks so much, Mark. This is awesome. I'm definitely grateful that you did this message because I know so much your heart and who you are. And I think it's going to be great for us to talk about. So I'm going to open up the breakout rooms. It's pretty much you'll be with your region split by men and women. And there's a couple regions that are combined. But you'll see who you're with in like 5 seconds. So have some great discussion, everybody. And then we're not going to come back together again. So, you know, in 20, 30 minutes when you're done, whenever you're done, somebody in your group could just close out in a prayer together. So I'll open the rooms now. What's up, guys? I decided to pop in here with y'all.
Great.